Hey guys, this is Sydney.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Tales of the Wicked, brought to you by Megan's Hatred for Honey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Tales of the Wicked. Megan and I may not be touching kneecaps this week. It's staring into each other's beautiful eyes. But we have a good week for you, a good episode for you this week. We're not going to be off. It's already feeling spicy.
I hope not.
We've been trying to start our recording for a good half an hour now because we haven't stopped laughing. So I think it's going to be a good one.
I mean, as long as it's better than this coffee that I'm drinking, then we're good to go.
Anything's better than your dirt water.
This coffee tastes like ass. It tastes sour. I don't like it.
Sour like that attitude. Gosh.
Well, it's not towards you.
Oh, thanks.
Not yet.
Oh, man. Well, as we start all of these episodes out, how's your week been? How was your weekend? How's the snow treating you?
Not great. Not gonna lie.
Not having a great time, but it's fine.
I spent a total of 2 hours shoveling my driveway yesterday for it to still look like I did no work at all. And
were you sweating?
Yes. Like with every like couple feet that I shoveled, I had to like take off another layer. So like I took off my hat, I took off my gloves, and it was not worth it.
And Aaron didn't even notice. You're standing there, like, in your gotchies.
Yeah. And I did it for Aaron to pull in the driveway, and he gets home. And I'm like, oh, did you see what I did? He's like, no. I'm like, I shoveled the whole driveway. Like, did you even look at it? He's like, oh, I can see what you tried to do. I'm like, all right, I'm not doing that for you anymore then.
Aaron's got planes on the brain. He doesn't care about your shoveled driveway.
Okay, don't even get me started on the planes. I can't.
Everyone that is listening would like to know about Aaron's planes. So give the people what they want. That's why they're here.
For 2 weeks, every single day, all day long. Okay, so a little bit of background. Aaron is terrified of flying on planes. And he, to make himself feel better, maybe, he has been watching videos about plane crashes for 2 weeks, and I can't watch them anymore. I can't do it. And he's like, well, not every single one is a plane crash. This one, they successfully landed in the water. I'm like, we're not even gonna be flying over water. Like, it's don't do that to yourself. Or he'll watch a video about how disgusting and dirty the plane is and everything that can go wrong with it. I'm just like, I really can't watch these anymore. Like, I can't. But his brother said that he's going to take Aaron to the bar before we get on the airplane, because he's going to be on the plane with us, and he's going to get Aaron nice and toasty, so that way he can just shut the fuck up and relax.
I feel like being on a plane toasty, like, a little tipsy, would be, like, you're on a plane, motion, drinking. I feel like that doesn't go together very well.
I don't care.
As long as he doesn't complain the whole time, then you're good.
As long as he doesn't sit with me, I'm fine.
I was telling my coworker about Aaron watching all these plane crash videos, and my coworker was like, well, he's like, if the plane crashes, he's gonna survive because he's gonna know what to do. I said, yeah, right. I was like, if the plane starts to crash, he's gonna cry like a baby like the rest of us. Like, and I was like, no, I'm not even gonna cry when the plane crashes. And I'm like, hey, about time. This is the way I'm gonna go, I guess.
I'm just going to hope that I'm asleep so that way I won't even notice.
Nothing's going on. I'm sleeping.
No, I actually plan to be pretty productive on the plane because I actually really like planes. So I don't like to sleep on them because I want to like look out the window and just enjoy the experience.
Right.
So I'm going to type up my notes while I'm on my plane ride.
Wow.
Being nice and productive. I know.
That's pretty snazzy.
I mean, that's what I say I'm going to do, but in all honesty, I might just play Best Fiends the whole time. I don't actually know.
I The last time I was on a plane was last May, and I watched The Notebook, and I was very happy.
Oh my god.
I took a little, I'm able to sleep on planes. Whoa, that, what was that voice? I was able to sleep on the plane, so I'm hoping if I get a neck pillow, I can just do a little power snooze. So that way I can stay up all night in Vegas.
So you put The Notebook on by choice is what I'm hearing, correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so today will be my last day on the podcast. Thank you, and good night.
You watch Twilight, so
you do no too. To judge.
I know, but I am fully aware that I am a rom-com Nicholas Sparks
trash god
slut. I love it all. Today is the 20-year anniversary of A Walk to Remember. His love is like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Ugh, just rip my heart out now.
God, I hate you.
Okay, so you know how Facebook stalks us all?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so every Sunday and Monday night is when I do my notes for the podcast on Tuesday when we record.
Yeah, perfect.
So, yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, this is a great story. So I was on Facebook and like all of my sponsored ads and all of like the random things that would pop up are all about serial killers and murderers and all that fun stuff that everyone likes to hear about. So I came across this BuzzFeed true or false quiz and we're going to do it.
Okay.
That was like the most like, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Whatever can't you wait. Want. It's your episode. Okay. Just fucking do it.
Whatever. Okay. So some of these I know, some of them I don't. Some I'm curious.
I really don't think I'm going to do well on this, but I love a good quiz, so let's go.
Okay, are we keeping track of who? Let's keep track of who wins.
Okay, I'll hold up my fingers.
Let's make this a game. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
True or false? In the 1940s, a woman killed three people and turned one of them into bars of soap, which she gave out to her friends.
True.
True.
Wait, do you know all true? Do you know all the answers to these?
No, I didn't. I never did it. Like, if I scroll through it, because you can see my screen. Like,
oh, okay.
They're unanswered.
I thought it was just, like, a list of things. Like I said, that's cheating. You can look at it. Okay.
No, you have to hit true or false, and then it'll tell you.
Okay.
I want to win.
The only way you can win anything against me.
Shut up. All right, so that was true. Next one. A serial killer from the 1970s appeared on The Dating Game and actually won.
True.
This is also true. I remember I actually watched a BuzzFeed video about a bunch of random serial killers recently, and he was on there. Ooh, our man Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy once saved a police officer from being hit by a car. I don't know this one, and I'm going to say false.
I want to say it's true.
Okay. Nope, it's false. Okay. This never happened. However, Bundy did save a 3-year-old toddler from drowning once.
Oh, okay.
All right, next. The BTK killer was caught because of a floppy disk.
True.
I also don't know this one, and I know that you know a lot about the BTK killer. I feel like I can't get a point for that because you said true and you know the answer to it. Yes. Are you going to do an episode on the BTK killer?
Yes, I am, and I'm very excited to do it.
What does BTK stand for?
I think it's BTK, bind, torture, kill.
Oh. You want to do that?
It's a good one.
Oh, my God.
I honestly, I don't know which one's more brutal, BTK or the one I'm doing next week. So,
dang it. I don't want to. I'm not recording next week. I'm going to watch The Notebook instead.
You might want to.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so how did you both have three.
Okay. What if we counted to three and then we both answered at the same time?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. A serial killer in Illinois was captured after posting photos of his victims on a dating app. Are you thinking of your answer?
I don't know, so I'm just going to blurt out a random answer.
Okay, I also don't know, so I'm also going to blurt out a random answer. All right, one, two, three. True.
False.
Ooh. The answer is false. This is totally made up and never happened.
That would have been like something in a movie.
Also, now that I'm thinking about it, like, why would you post pictures of the victims that you killed? Because can't they just, like, trace your phone, like, who's the one posting it?
I mean, they've done dumber shit. Or he could have been posting it from someone else's phone.
Hmm.
Just to rewind, BTK was caught through a floppy disk.
Yeah, that's, yeah, oh.
And I don't want to go much more into it because it's really fucking funny. So I'll wait to go into that when I actually do the episode. But it's honestly pretty hilarious.
How he did all that. You, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how did he get caught? But I'll find out.
It's so funny.
All right. A serial killer in Alaska would set his victims out into the wilderness and hunt them. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three.
True.
Do you know this one?
I think I do.
I don't know this one, but that just sounds like something that an Alaskan would do, so I'm saying true.
I feel like I've heard that before.
That is, it is true. Holy cow, he killed 17 women throughout the 70s and 80s.
I feel like I've heard of this guy before, or like of this happening.
I just also want to go back for a second because I said this is something that an Alaskan would do. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I have family that lives in Alaska. But like you're out in the wilderness.
Is this something your family would do? Is that why you're saying it? You know from experience? Is that why you don't go to Alaska?
But I've been to Alaska before and it's cold. You don't like the snow here in Ohio.
I would like to go just for like a visit, but I would never live there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very pretty, but
yeah, my uncle used to live in Alaska and they said it was pretty, but
they no longer live there. They also have 24 hours of light and 24 hours of dark.
Yeah, I've seen videos about it.
Which is dumb. But, all right, that one was true. And we have two more. Who's winning? Who's losing?
You have four, I have five.
Of course you do. All right.
You're not that far behind me.
Next. A serial killer in Southern California got caught when he was pulled over for drunk driving and had a dead body in the passenger seat. One, two, three, false.
I will say true.
I feel like if you killed someone, you're not just going to prop their body up next to you. Let's see. It is true.
Oh.
He was the scorecard killer.
Wow. I've never heard of that one. You should have that one to your list to cover.
That's actually a good idea. Let's throw it on the list. Man, why would you put him next to you?
Maybe to look like there's some like a passenger with you. I don't know.
I don't know why
you would do that, but
I don't know why you would kill anyone, but
hey. Yeah, I mean that's teach the first thing, but
all right. Last one. A serial killer in the 1980s appeared in a low budget horror film where he played a serial killer.
Okay, what? I'm going to say false.
I'm also going to say false. That sounds like a lot. Oh, it is false.
Oh, okay. So
that never happened.
I had seven. You had six.
I knew that was going to happen. All right.
Well, you did really good.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a fun quiz. Good job.
So I found another quiz because I found this one. And then I was like thinking of the two of us. And I was like, I wonder if there's a Twilight quiz out there, which of course there is because Twilight is Twilight.
There's probably 1,000 of them, and you had to pick through them.
But can I just read you some of the, like, the true-false questions they have on here? Question number one. This is on thequiz.com.
Ooh.
Question number one is true or false. Bella experiences some degree of romantic feelings for both Edward and Jacob.
That's, like, the premise of four of the movies.
Yep. Let's see. What's another one? True or false? Edward broke up with Bella because he was interested in someone else.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Yep, you're right. True or false? Bella became pregnant before her and Edward got married. That little slut.
Scandalous. He would never allow that. Okay, and I just
they waited until marriage, okay? Because he didn't want to hurt her because he was a vampire and she was a human.
Yeah, no thanks. So I just want to make something extremely clear. Yes. We don't actually like Twilight that much. The reason we talk about it is, okay, so me and Sid for a really long time weren't really friends. We didn't think we had anything in common. We really didn't talk unless we were already drinking. And years later,
like a great friend.
I know. Well, years later down the line, you and I realized that when we were both like in middle school, high school, we liked Twilight. So it's kind of just like a cringy joke now that we both liked it. And so we talk about it now. We don't actually just sit there in our mid to late 20s thinking about Twilight all day long.
We probably should let everyone know that. It is.
Like,
it is
I want to make it very clear. It is a huge joke in our friendship that we liked it and it's nostalgic for us, but we know it is like the worst movie saga of all time. But that's also what gives it its charm.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I totally still watch these movies. Like, when they're on and I see them, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put Twilight on. And I totally had a Team Jacob shirt when I was in middle school. But it is just a cringy joke that we just love to feed into because it's funny.
Yeah, no. Because it's one of those things where, like, when we were in high school and, like, middle school, we didn't know each other, obviously. But we, just from, like, knowing who we were back then, we would not have been friends. And it's just funny to see, like, this is the one thing we had in common back then, is we both really liked Twilight. Which, I mean, who didn't when we were 13 and it first came out?
Right, exactly.
But
yeah, no, if me and Megan went to the same school, well, I don't think that we would even give each other the time of day.
Well, in all honesty, when I was in school, I was the kid that would literally just sit in the back of the room, like, listen to music and fall asleep, and you would be surrounded by, like, all your friends. So we wouldn't even, like, have time to, like, notice each other. But
high school's dumb, and I'm not gonna lie, I also personally really liked high school and I had a good high school experience. But now that I'm older, like, when people tell high schoolers, like, it's the best 4 years of your life, it's not. Like, it's really not.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a different experience. Mine was, I was very angsty and very angry, and so I made myself have a terrible time. But looking back on it, I could have had a different outlook on things and I would have had a very different experience. But I mean, I made it through high school without, like, really having any drama.
That's so good.
I just didn't talk to anyone in school. And then when I would make friends, I would have to move to a different state. So then I would lose those friends.
Oh my gosh.
But it is what it is. It's fine.
Yeah. But hey, we're friends now and we have a podcast. And Megan hates TikTok and doesn't watch TikToks, and I do. And I saw this TikTok and it was like a fun song, and it was like one person who's what did it say? This isn't exactly what it said. This is just me kind of coming up with something, but it was like one person who likes to jump around and talk to everyone, and one person who likes to be alone and not bothered, and then it's them fist bumping and it's like best friends. I was like, hey, that's me and Megan. Total opposites, but we work great together.
Those are the only friendships I can honestly have. Like, in high school, I was friends with this girl who I still talk to, but we're not like best friends, talk all the time. And she and I were like exactly like we had the same sense of humor, we liked all the same stuff, and almost every single day I wanted to fist fight her. Like, I need something different. I can't be friends with myself. I hate myself. Like, this is it. This does not work for me.
You need some balance.
Opposites attract.
They do.
I need someone who is nothing like me. And that's okay.
Well, you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it, all right. You might want to fist fight me. Group. You might want to punch me sometimes, but it's okay.
Not as often as you would think.
Oh, thanks. I feel honored.
And I think it's funny, like, I talk about, like, oh, I would punch that person. In all honesty, I've never been in a fist fight, and I'm absolutely terrified because I injure myself giving people high fives.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so delicate.
Yeah, no, it would, that's kind of like when Megan and I were testing our audio and, like, our webcams and stuff like that, like, nothing was working, and I was like, I'm going to go play in the street. And it's just like, I'm not, that's a total joke that you cannot joke about. And I do it sometimes. And it's like, that's not true. That's not how I actually think.
Yeah. No, I get it. I do that too.
That is true though. Like when I first met you and like, we didn't really like talk or we weren't really like super good friends. Like, you would say stuff like that. You're like, oh, that's so annoying. I want to do this. Or I don't remember you saying you're going to punch someone. You might have, I'm sure, at some point.
But no, I tried to keep that stuff kind of quiet at first.
Yeah, well, kind of like playing in the street. I only say that to, like, my really, really, really close friends. And now everyone that listens to Tales of the Wicked, we're all close friends now, too.
That's okay. All the two people who listen.
Hey, don't say that. but I was like, oh, man, she's, like, real tough. And then I got to know you, and, like you said, you're very... very fragile, like could twist an ankle in a second by just walking on a straight path with no cracks or rocks.
I have done that.
You're just walking, you're like, oh fudge. Well, remember
we were camping and we were playing on like a water obstacle course, and I fell and slipped on an anchor and split my foot open.
Yeah, that was gross.
That one hurt.
I remember like trying to clean your foot out. Well, actually I didn't, because I couldn't look at it.
Yeah, everyone had to carry me off the beach, and they're like screaming, and these poor teenage lifeguards are like, I don't know what to do.
Right? They were like, don't, you're older than me. Can't you figure this out?
That's okay.
Gosh.
We got it figured out.
We did. And her foot is fine. She wobbled for the rest of the weekend. And that's about it.
I wobbled for a good like 2-3 weeks, and I remember I wobbled into work. And one of the like managers at the factory I was working at runs up to me. He's like, oh my God, did you get hurt at work? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And just like walks by. I'm like, I'm glad you care though. Thanks.
Man, that company, they were something else.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about that at all. Dang. All right. So guess what I have this week for my case?
Something good.
I got something paranormal.
Whoa, okay. Ooh. I'm excited.
Whoa, we're switching it up. I don't know if you say it's a case when it's paranormal. I kind of call it more like a story, I guess. That's right. I don't know. So just like a little heads up for you and for everyone, there's a lot of history that goes with it. Which I feel like is kind of the case for most paranormal stories. Like, you have to know.
You have to give some background. I mean, yeah, how you have the ghost to give... became ghost, kind
of. Yeah. So, I think that the story is more of, like, the background of where it is and everything that happened. And then, I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. It's also in Ohio again.
We do a lot of Ohio stuff.
We do a lot of Ohio stuff, but we're Ohio. I've been here my whole life. You moved here. We're Ohio based.
I was born here.
Storytellers. That is true, because your family's here.
Well, I was born here, and then I grew up somewhere else.
Yeah, you just bebopped around a little bit.
That's all right. That's why they call me Bebop.
Oh my gosh, that's great, huh? All right, well, if you're ready, I'm ready, and let's get into it.
I'm excited to hear it. Let's go.
All right. So our case or story this week is about the Athens Lunatic Asylum. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
You know, every time I, like, give you, like, the title or whatever, you always go, oh! And I'm always like, okay, was that a, oh, I know it, or oh, I don't?
No, I don't know this one.
Ah. Megan listens to a lot more... like, she has a wide variety of podcasts that she listens to, from true crime to paranormal, and I kind of have, like, my solid two. So she knows a lot more cases than I do, so I always get nervous when I tell her what I'm doing, because I don't know if she's going to know it or not. But, yeah, this is what we're doing. Have you ever been to Athens or Ohio University?
No.
So, I haven't either. But I had a friend in high school, or still friend, Ballas, who you know, he went to Ohio University. His, like, whole family, his mom, his dad, I'm pretty sure that's where they met, and then, like, his older sister, him, and the younger one, they all went to Ohio University.
Oh, nice.
So whenever I found this, like this story, I was going to text him and ask him if he's ever been here, which I forgot to. So I'm going to do that after the episode. I'm sure he has. It's a part of the university now, but
yeah. Oh, is it the asylum?
Yeah. Well, oh. Okay. So, well, I'll tell you about it.
We'll get into it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. So, podcast boys. The former Athens Lunatic Asylum, now known as the Ridges, is located in Athens, Ohio. Built in 1868 with Cleveland architect Levi Scotfield, the asylum was known for its Victorian Gothic appearance. If that name sounds familiar to you, Levi Scotfield was also the main architect in the Ohio State Reformatory, or as other people call it, the Mansfield Prison.
I was going to say his name did sound familiar.
It does. So if you're a weekly Tales of the Wicked listener, we just covered the Ohio State Reformatory not too long ago. If you're not, the Reformatory is another popular haunted building in Ohio, and it has a lot of paranormal sightings. And it's also known for having some of the most violent ghosts in Ohio. So if you like this episode and this story and you think the story is interesting, I would definitely go check out that one as well. All right. So the asylum had a bat-winged layout with a main administrative area and then one wing for male patients, one wing for female patients, and then they had their own separate dining halls. The asylum could fit 572 patients total, and at the beginning of the asylum, there was only one building over 141 acres of land. Over the years and currently, there are 78 different buildings, and it is across 1,000 acres of land. So it has grew a lot since the start of it. As the asylum grew, this created areas for things like livestock, gardens, and a greenhouse. And these areas were for patients in the asylum to explore, and they were used as a source of therapy. So what I saw in some of my sources was they would have the patients kind of work in these different areas. They also had a dairy barn and different things like that. So the patients just, got kind of like a sense of normal everyday life. Like you kind of work and you get rewarded for it. So it was just a kind of a way to help patients that were admitted into the asylum.
Okay.
That's not the right word. Opening in January of 1874, the asylum provided services to a variety of patients, including Civil War veterans, children, the homeless, and violent criminals suffering from various mental disabilities. The first patient to step foot in the hospital was a 14-year-old boy with epilepsy. Ooh, what a word. At the time, it was thought that he was possessed by the devil. And in 1874, this was one of the most common reasons for a patient to be admitted. If you look at epilepsy today, we just know that it's a seizure disorder, and patients are just given medication for it. So it really shows that, when you think of an asylum, at least for me personally, like I think of this really big, heavy place, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of shocked when I was, getting a history on it, that one of the most common causes was epilepsy, because like it's just a seizure disorder. Like people, it's also a common thing for people to have, and you just have medication and different ways to kind of help yourself live with epilepsy. So I thought that was interesting just personally.
Yeah.
Other common causes for admission were menopause, alcohol addiction, and tuberculosis. The most female patients within the asylum were there because of postpartum reasons, and the most common cause for male patients was masturbation.
Oh, okay. Reasonable.
There you go. You could throw them in an asylum. That's fine.
Yeah.
As time passed, the asylum became overcrowded with patients and living conditions deteriorated. The asylum had a range of employees with full medical training to little to none at all. What follows the asylum to this day is the inhumane and cruel procedures conducted on patients. The asylum was best known for its practice of lobotomy, but it was also known to have practiced hydrotherapy, electroshock therapy, restraint, and psychotropic drugs.
Oh, good. So it was like every other asylum.
Yeah. All the asylums are the same. Overcrowded, poor living conditions, patients passing away. They did, inhumane procedures on them.
It was absolute torture.
Yes, and which is what is crazy is I literally listed 2 seconds before that people were just in there for alcohol addiction and menopause and like things that are so common in life today that we know how to I don't want to say treat, but we know the correct way to go about helping people with these kinds of problems.
I mean, like, you didn't even have to have problems. Like, you could have been in a bad mood and, like, yelled at John for not doing the dishes. And he could be like, this woman's a psycho, and just throw you in. Like,
exactly. It's
literally, like, a bad mood.
Yeah.
Would, like, put you in there.
So, some people, like, the homeless was a group of people that were in the asylum. And I mean, they were just orphans? They were just, children.
Oh, okay.
no orphans. Not that I saw. But, you know, like, you could either go to the asylum, like, voluntarily, or your family could put you there. You know, it just, I feel like it was so easy. I don't know if that's the correct word to use there.
Oh, you and I would have ended up in there for sure.
Oh, yeah, we would have been there. Yeah, absolutely.
We'd be cell buddies, cellmates.
There you go. I just wanted to kind of like break down what these procedures were because I don't know if everyone knows kind of like the details of them. So a lobotomy, which is the most common, thing that they did, and that's what they're most known for, is a form of psychosurgery. It's a neurosurgical treatment of mental disorder that involves severing connections in the brain's prefrontal cortex. So the way that they did that was they put in, like, essentially it's like an ice pick. That's what it looks like, through the eyeball. So they would, you would have your eye open. They would stick like the, pointy end. I'm probably butchering this, but they would stick the one end and then the other, like has a flat end. So then they would hit it to go through the eye into the brain to try to sever the correct connection in your brain. And there's a lot of times that this, like, they would try to do this and it didn't work. You know what I mean? Like, they're just kind of blindly hitting a sharp object through someone's eye into their brain.
It's a shocker that didn't work.
I don't know how they did that. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, ugh. And if patients were awake, I don't know if they were asleep.
I can guarantee you that they were. If that's what their quote unquote surgery was, I can guarantee you that they didn't have a proper way to put them out. So.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing, the hydrotherapy. So this is exposing patients to baths or showers of warm water for extended periods of time. And then electroshock therapy involves a brief electrical stimulation to the brain. And that one as well, the patient is supposed to be under anesthesia. If they actually were in the asylum, that's, we can leave that up to you because I'm, same thing, like the staff that worked at the asylum, some of them had medical training and some of them had little to none at all. So
sounds about right.
Sounds so like an asylum.
I have a question about the water one. So basically you just took like a long hot bath.
Yeah, so it looked like I tried to that look one up doesn't pictures sound bad. Well, so that's what I'm assuming there has to be something to it, and that's why, because they don't do hydrotherapy. I think now is like if you, and this is just me, I could be completely wrong, but like patients, they can put them in like swimming pools because it's easier to move around in a swimming pool. So like you do exercises in the pool and you can try to walk in the pool and different things like that.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that, like they do that for dogs and stuff who have bad joints.
Yeah. So I'm assuming if it was supposed to be a negative thing, from the pictures that I saw, it was like they would like submerge them and leave them in the water.
Oh, like drown them?
I don't know if they were putting their heads under, but like I'm assuming the water didn't stay warm forever, right? So did they just sit naked in freezing cold water? And like this one picture that I saw, the only thing that was sticking out on the patient was their head. So like you saw their head and then everything was closed off. Like they were sitting in a tank and their body was covered in the water and then their head was sitting out of it.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly like the extent to what made it like inhumane, but I don't think that it was viewed as a good thing.
Well,
Like
I'm
it's
wondering,
definitely.
like, so sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're okay.
It's when we're recording, like, away from each other, it's hard not to interrupt each other.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I can only imagine, like, you know how, like, if you're in the bath or the pool too long and then your feet get really pruney, but, like,
Yes.
so pruney to the point where it hurts to stand.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, anything like that happened. Like, they're just bought, their body just becomes, like, I don't know, like, painful when you're out of the water.
Right. I just looked up, like, as we're talking on my laptop, I put in hydrotherapy in asylums, and the one picture is just like a patient standing naked in a, I'm assuming what's supposed to be a shower, and then there's a worker just like spraying them and hosing them down.
Oh,
And I
yeah,
don't
that's
know if it's like
uncomfortable.
a if it's like a constant like just spraying them with like high pressure water. But yeah, like there's a couple of these pictures and it's just like people standing in line and them just like continuously spraying them with water.
Well, I feel like if it was just like anything like that, then maybe this place wouldn't smell as bad as most of the places back then, because people are getting like washed regularly.
There you
Like, even
go.
if it's not with soap, it's like at least you're getting hosed down.
You're getting something. Look at you, Megan, looking at the positive.
I know, that's so unlike me.
I'm like, it's an inhumane procedure. And you're like, hey, at least it didn't smell bad.
You know what? To me, it sounds like the best of the evils that I've heard so far. I'd rather get hosed down or soaked than have something shoved in my eye socket or being electrocuted. So,
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that one. All right. Also, like asylums, like you read this kind of stuff, and it's like, yes, no wonder this place is haunted.
yeah, everyone's probably pissed.
Like, I wonder why there are spirits and ghosts that are coming back to these places. Like this is the kind of stuff that you did to these people, and
Yeah.
they're still like they're people, just like you and I, and they were in there for such minimal, like, I don't know, alcohol addiction. Like, there's alcoholics all over the place. Did they need to get a ice pick shoved through their eyeball? Probably not. So, all right, let's continue. In the 1950s, the asylum had almost 2,000 patients, which was over three times the max capacity. However, the number of patients would begin to decline for the next several decades as deinstitutionalization accelerated. With the increasing prevalence of psychological therapy and psychoactive drugs, there was no longer a need for a prison-like institution. With fewer patients, buildings were left empty, and the asylum ended up closing in 1993. So the asylum operated for 119 years.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty long. I mean, it closed in 1993. I was born in 96. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
that's not that long ago.
Yeah, that was just 2 years before I was born in 95.
So one thing that I didn't mention in the beginning, the asylum wasn't always called the Athens Lunatic Asylum. They started to give it a bunch of different names like throughout its op I it, its existence, I guess I want to say.
Yeah.
Now it's known as the Ridges, but when they had patients there, they called it a hospital at one point. Like, I mean, I looked it up and there was like a list of like 10 different names that this place went through.
Yeah.
So yeah, it didn't close that long ago, but it was open for 119 years. And the one thing that I was kind of interested in was, you know, like you're 26, I'm 25. It closed in 93. You know, it's been closed about 30 years ago. I mean, not exactly 30, but close to. Like, were they still doing lobotomies and stuff like at that time?
I mean, there's a decent chance that if they were doing them, it was like on the down low.
Well, yeah. So another thing about the asylum that I would get to is that they don't have really good, like, they didn't document that stuff, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
So they probably did do it and you just
Didn't know about it.
didn't know about it. But it's kind of like crazy to me to think that, you know, 1993 is not that long ago and that they were doing that to people is sad.
I mean, there was a lot of horrific shit going on in that time that a lot of people didn't know about.
Yeah. And like when I've heard of lobotomies before. The most like I don't know if it's the most famous case, but something that I know it from is like John F. Kennedy's sister
Yeah.
he has a sister, and they did that procedure on her, and it went wrong, and they, like, shipped her off to some, like, facility, and then she just lived the best, like, rest of her life there, and they lied about where she was at and stuff. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's crazy to me.
One podcast that I do listen to, Dark Histories with Bailey Sarian, she has a whole episode, because it's not, like, a true crime, like a traditional true crime podcast, but she goes into, like, history about things. So, like, she went into the history of lobotomies and stuff like that. And she did a really good job, like, explaining all of that. So that was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to listen to that.
Yeah, I can send you a link to it when we're done with this.
Look at that. Today, the former Athens Lunatic Asylum is now known as the Ridges. It is a part of Ohio University and serves multiple different purposes. It houses the Kennedy Museum of Arts. It's an auditorium, has many different offices, classrooms, and storage facilities. So it is fully restored and up and running now and is a part of the university.
I have a stupid question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're okay.
Is Ohio University different than Ohio State University?
Yes. So okay. Ohio State University is obviously in Columbus. And then Ohio University, it's about an hour past Hocking Hills. So I want to say it's about like 4 hours from here.
Okay. I thought Athens was close to Columbus, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And Ohio University, I think they're like the Wildcats or the Bobcats. It's the green and white. I don't know if you know that
I've
much.
I've seen that logo. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So that's Ohio University.
Oh, okay. Okay. I knew Athens was like a college party town because when the guys went to Hocking Hills for, I want to say, Ryan's bachelor party, they went bar hopping in Athens, and Aaron told me it was like a college town.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason I know about it.
Yeah. And it's literally in the middle of nowhere, and it's a huge party town.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, Ohio University. There have been multiple... I always feel awkward when we talk and then I just randomly cut back into the story. I don't know.
No, you're good.
All right. There have been multiple paranormal sightings around the Ridges. I wonder why. People were tortured. The building has an overall eerie feeling, even with it being restored and used daily by many. People have said to see faint figures throughout the hallways. They hear doors rattle and close, and they also hear distant screams throughout the building. The most famous asylum resident to haunt the halls is Margaret Schieling. On December 1st, 1978, Margaret and the other patients in the asylum were playing hide-and-seek with the nurses. This was during the time of the asylum's decline, so it's kind of whenever there's a bunch of overcrowding, there was three times the amount of patients that the asylum could fit. And whenever they had this overcrowding, they would put patients in other buildings. So they weren't all just in the one main asylum. So it was easy for, you know, nurses to not be able to keep track, which is what happened. So they got distracted and they forgot to look for Margaret. They realized the next day that she was missing. But she wouldn't be found until a month later by a maintenance worker in an old abandoned building on the property. She was found completely naked with her clothes neatly folded next to her body. Oh. When they removed her body, there was a stain left on the floor that is believed to have been caused by a chemical reaction that occurred when her body started to decompose. This stain is still left behind in that building 44 years later.
Wow.
Yeah. And I found a picture of it online, so I'll post that on Instagram for everyone to be able to see. All right. Surrounding the former asylum are three cemeteries that contain the graves of 1,930 former patients. Of those graves, 1,659 were marked only by a number because the patients were unclaimed by families and there was little to no information on them. It wasn't until 1943 that the state of Ohio began to put names, birth, and death dates on the headstones that they could find information on. This cemetery is restored and maintained today by the Ohio Department of Mental Health, but it wasn't always like that. So whenever the asylum was closed down, a lot of people went to the cemeteries and they would vandalize them. and
of course they
the
would.
headstones. Yeah. And there's no, you know, some of them had names, some of them didn't. I mean, it literally said that 1,659 headstones just had numbers on them. Because that's how many people they had and how many people were passing away in these, in this asylum. People would go vandalize these headstones and graves, and these are where people were left, and that's where people were buried, and they were unclaimed, and no one knew anything about them. And I don't know, it's just really sad to me.
Yeah, I'm glad that they finally started like taking responsibility for like upkeep and showing more respect towards that.
I agree. So the cemetery is restored now, and they try to do what they can to be able to make it, you know, give respect to the people that did die and the people that are there. But the cemeteries obviously have had a ton of paranormal sightings, and it's a really popular location for paranormal fans, because it's said to be so haunted. And there's three big ones that surround the entire, you know, property, because there's so many people. If you're from Ohio and you like this story and you want to visit the asylum and the property, you can. So there are outdoor walking tours of the grounds, cemeteries, and various buildings within the complex. And then while you're on the tour, you can learn more about the history of mental health treatment and kind of the differences between today's world and whenever the asylum was operating. And one of the things that you can do is you can go, from what I saw, you can go into the room that has the famous stain of Margaret Schilling.
Oh, we should go there.
It would be kind of cool. I mean, it's close to us. It would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so that is kind of the, it's a lot of history more than anything, but obviously this building, you know, I personally believe in paranormal stuff, so I, you know, fully believe that there probably are very angry spirits and people that are still in these buildings and in the cemeteries that, you know, make themselves and their presence known.
Yeah, no, that was super interesting. And if we ever do go here, we can always do like an update on that and see like if we had any experiences or just what we thought of it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is my story for this week.
Good job. That was a good one. It was super interesting. I personally love all the history of it, so I really liked that.
I do too. I had a lot of fun looking up the history too. I thought that this was it was a cool story. I think it's really sad. Like when you think about it, it's very sad, but I mean, it's a part of Ohio. That's my dog. I really apologize.
Sammy.
It's close to dinner time and he knows it, so he's staring at me.
Aw. Well, I mean, like with most things, like a lot of old buildings, like of course they're gonna have tragic past, because you know we were all shitheads back then. I mean, we're all shitheads now, but
yeah,
especially back then, like we did not treat anyone the way they should have been treated.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Good job, Sid.
Thank you. And like I said in the beginning of the episode, if you really like this episode and you think that it's interesting, and you haven't listened to the Mansfield Reformatory episode, I would go get that one, you know, a listen to. The week that we released the Mansfield Reformatory, we also released one of the Baffin. Is that how you pronounce it?
Banff.
Banff. There you go. Banff Hotel. It's another paranormal story. That's really cool. So if, you know, if you like this a little bit more than the true crime Hack'em type stories, then, you know, we try to give you a variety of both. So I would definitely go take a listen to them. Do you have anything to add, Megan?
No.
All right. Well, as always, don't forget to rate and share this with your friends. We really enjoy it and appreciate it. And it, you know, it helps us out a lot. And we just like to know that you guys are enjoying everything that we're giving to you. We have a lot of fun recording these and looking up all the stuff for you guys. So, yeah, don't forget. Well, words to rate and share. And next week, Megan has a terribly gruesome case for Keith, her brother, that I hope you guys are all ready to listen to. You have a week to prepare for it.
I know. I'm excited to write the notes for this one.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
I'm gonna spend like my whole weekend or the rest of my week watching like documentaries on it so I can get as much info as possible. I want to say what it is, but I feel like you don't know what it is.
I have no idea what it is, so
I'll just leave it as a mystery for next week then.
We'll leave it that. Everyone will find out next week together.
All right. Well, you guys have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
And as always,
keep it creepy.
Bye.
See ya.